government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evidence on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. We've got a great show lined up for you this evening, a great guest. And before I bring him on, I do want to tell you there's lots going on, and the timing for tonight's guest could not be better in light of what is going on. We sort of have a message like that on every show. It seems like as the days go on, in fact, the hours and the minutes, it never ceases to amaze us how insane and how chaotic things can get. But it all boils down to one thing, the money. And the proverbial question that I've been asking for the past week, where's the birth certificate? I'd like to share a message with you here. This is written by journalist Charlie Reese. This was sent to me by Robert in Memphis. I want to thank Robert for keeping his eyes and ears open. This is a very important message. I'd like you to think outside the box while you listen to this. I think we are a bit more outside the box than Mr. Reese, but he hits the message with a dead bullseye. It's called 545 People. Politicians are the only people in the world who create problems and then campaign against them. Have you ever wondered if both the Democrats and the Republicans are against deficits? Why do we have deficits? Have you ever wondered if all the politicians are against inflation and high taxes? Why do we have inflation and high taxes? You and I don't propose a federal budget. The president does. You and I don't have the constitutional authority to vote on appropriations. The House of Representatives does. You and I don't write the tax code. Congress does. You and I don't set fiscal policy. Congress does. You and I don't control monetary policy. The Federal Reserve Bank does. 100 senators, 435 congressmen, one president, and 9 Supreme Court justices. 545 human beings out of the 300 million are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for the domestic problems that plague this country. I excluded the members of the Federal Reserve Board because that problem was created by the Congress. In 1913, Congress delegated its constitutional duty to provide a sound currency to a federally chartered but private central bank. I excluded all the special interests and lobbyists for a sound reason. They have no legal authority. They have no ability to coerce a senator, a congressman, or a president to do one cotton-picking thing. I don't care if they offer a politician $1 million in cash. The politician has the power to accept or reject it. No matter what the lobbyist promises, it is the legislator's responsibility to determine how he votes. Those 545 human beings spend much of their energy convincing you that what they did is not their fault. They cooperate in this common con regardless of party. What separates a politician from a normal human being is an excessive amount of gall. No normal human being would have the gall of a speaker who stood up and criticized the president for creating deficits. The president can only propose a budget. He cannot force the Congress to accept it. The Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, gives sole responsibility to the House of Representatives for originating and approving appropriations and taxes. Who is the Speaker of the House? Nancy Pelosi. She is a leader of the majority party. She and fellow House members, not the president, can approve any budget they want. If the president vetoes it, they can pass it over his veto if they agree to. It seems inconceivable to me that a nation of 300 million cannot replace 545 people who stand convicted by present facts of incompetence and irresponsibility. I can't think of a single domestic problem that is not traceable directly to those 545 people. When you fully grasp the plain truth that 545 people exercise the power of the federal government, then it must follow that what exists is what they want to exist. If the tax code is unfair, it's because they want it unfair. If the budget is in the red, it is because they want it in the red. If the Army and Marines are in Iraq, it's because they want them in Iraq. If they do not receive Social Security but are on an elite retirement plan not available to the people, it's because they want it that way. There are no insoluble government problems. Do not let these 545 people shift the blame to bureaucrats whom they hire and whose jobs they can abolish, to lobbyists whose gifts and advice they can reject, to regulators to whom they give the power to regulate and from whom they can take this power. Above all, do not let them con you into the belief that there exists disembodied mystical forces like the economy, inflation, or politics that prevent them from doing what they take an oath to do. Those 545 people, and they alone, are responsible. They and they alone have the power. They and they alone should be held accountable by the people who are their boss. Provided the voters have the gumption to manage their own employees. We should vote all of them out of office. I don't want you wait around for me. I want you live your life with liberty. Like talking into a rusty mic. You gotta eliminate your words sometimes and take control with the tone of your voice. And never keep the score. You're just missing the point from the beginning. The grin and the livid, the timid, the picket, the litter, the coma, the kicker, the quicker, the feeling, the feeling, the rhythm. You keep on picking the lid of the tape on the feed, watch the TV in the living room. Straight to the state, and we would be able to solve our problems. That will be who I'm meant to be, but I need you on this June the 8th on the West Coast, June the 9th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. Those of you who know what time it is in your part of the world, I welcome tonight's guest. He is a former Kansas state trooper. He is also a doctorate in criminology, and he is one of the finest gentlemen in this country that I know, a patriot through and through. He believes the colors of the American flag. Our good friend, Dr. Ray Stevenson. Ray, welcome to the show.
You're killing me. You didn't bring your money. You must look at me like I'm a delirious dummy somehow. I'm the brick for not paying. I wonder if you'll ever understand what I'm saying.
What a marvelous opening statement. I tell you, that I wish I'd been brilliant enough to write something like that. Wasn't that just right spot on?
It is. We know that the votes are rigged, so we have to take that into account. But Mr. Reese did write something, and I'm not jealous, but I would have been proud to have written something like that myself.
Oh, I tell you, it really told the story exactly where it is and why it is. Unfortunately, we find ourselves, Don, in probably the greatest moment in all of human history as we are observing and watching the events unfold in front of us across the world and especially in our own nation. It is a difficult task, frankly, good friend, every day to get up and to realize that, today is going to be another barn burner for events. And I look around and I am trying to digest what the nation is doing to itself through its elected officials, what we have allowed to happen, and then what is swirling about us that we have absolutely no control over whatsoever. And I just think, Don, that we are just in some ways just scratching the surface as to what is taking place as we speak at this very moment live. And I'm going, good grief, the responsibility that folks like you have and that you carry out so marvelously well, and others who are on talk radio and who write and so forth, we are trying our very best on all of us to set before the American people the truth as we know it to be, the truth as we have revealed it to be, and still try and bring perspective as to what people can do in a positive sense, even at this late hour, because as I said, as we talk, as we speak right now, there are events unfolding in this brand new day in front of us that just boggle the mind. And but we're going to do our best to keep trying to isolate it and make it make some kind of sense, even when it doesn't to us, so that the American people have an opportunity to say, wait just a minute here. I want a little more to say, and I'm going to start with the President of the United States, who, foreign-born, a President of the United States that we have in office, someone who has failed to produce even something remotely akin to a genuine birth certificate, and that's where we have to, and from there on, Don, it's just a constant struggle to say what is legitimate, what is left to us. But we're just not going to let it happen. I love this nation, this republic that your forefathers and mine brought forth. I'm not willing to give up on it.
Amen. I couldn't have said it better. You know, we had the opportunity to talk today. In fact, you had called me, and I was uploading a bunch of stuff on my website. My listening audience and my visitors to my site are going to be so thrilled that I got 10 archives up from past shows. I posted some photos from the planet Balqui on my site,
yeah,
on my photos page, and I'm seeing the numbers shoot up. Many people are going to look at the video. You got to realize, folks, that there's a lot of congestion on the internet, and that is a huge file. It takes a couple of minutes to load, but once it starts loading, you can hit the play button, and you should have some trouble-free listening and viewing, because it is a documentary video showing some pictures that I got from the Federation and the participant, Jim Murray, who is my regular Friday night guest. The information that has come out over the last couple of weeks, Greg, and you and Drew Raines have been a part of it, and I have participated in some shows where we've revealed this information. And your call to me today was to alert me to something which I've been able to follow up on, and I have some answers for, by the way. So,
oh, great.
We're going to present this to the listening audience, and I think I will do you the honor, since you're my guest and it's so difficult to get you on this show, so because you're such a busy and popular fellow. I'm going to allow you to, let's say, disclose what part of our conversation or your initial reason for calling was to share this information. And,
well,
and
Don,
to tie
it
in
was,
with what we know.
Sure, and thank you for that. Again, ladies and gentlemen, from time to time, people who I have worked with and who have been a part of my group, if you will, of folks that have given me information and passed along this information that comes to you in the best form, as true and accurate as we know it to be, spoke to me today and alerted me to the fact that the United States government, in the form of one of its individuals who serves on the NSA, had alerted him to the fact that they were tracking an extremely large, somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 miles in diameter, a vehicle coming into our southern hemisphere, and at times the speeds were very fast, and then it would slow down and almost stop, and as if it were either charting or looking for something, perhaps, speculation here, of course. And he said, look, Greg, this is occurring as we speak. And this was this afternoon about 3:30, 4 o'clock Central Time. And he just said, this is unbelievable, but here it is. And he said it is unfolding in such a way that you know, perhaps we'll be able to know in a few hours where this is leading. But he said at the present time, I'm sorry, I cannot. And it is since that time, Don. And of course, what happened then is after I had concluded my visit with him, I called you and said, look, you and I have been exchanging information for some time, and I think you should know that this has just occurred. It's come from an entirely different source than I expected. And he said, here you go. So as I passed it on to you, I said, see what you can do, but here's the information. And now I pass the baton back to you, Don. What have you found since that time this afternoon that I know your audience would like to hear?
Well, I had mentioned to you that I was listening to Drew's show. I was unable to contact anyone immediately.
Sure.
But I thought I would share it with Drew, so I sort of texted a message to him. And his show, by the way, is A Marine's Disquisition on Blog Talk Radio. And I went on live with him on the air for about an hour, and I told him what you had told me. And as we began discussing this, I said, you know, I'm picking up something on the location of this craft. Greg said that it was Southern Hemisphere, that it was seen flying over the Southern Hemisphere. And I had asked you South America, and you said, I don't know where, just Southern Hemisphere was what you were told.
Yeah.
Well, as I was talking to Drew, I could see in my mind's eye this craft flying over Southeast Asia, and I referred to it specifically as the western end of the Pacific Ocean. And wouldn't you know that one of our listeners overseas, Drew gets a very, very large listening audience in the military, a Marine pilot called in, or I should say chatted in, he was text messaging Drew at lightning speed, telling Drew that he saw the craft, and it first appeared over Hong Kong. It was a triangular craft. This came out over time during the show. He's chatting, adding this information. I asked him for a description of the craft, its general location, its size, its shape, color, lights, all of that. He described it as a triangular craft, black and shiny, with red, blue, and green lights all around it. And as we went further into the broadcast, and even a bit after the broadcast, the information came through that this craft was possibly larger than 15 miles, in fact, as much as 30 miles across, the front point of the triangle being a mile wide, if you can imagine that.
It boggles my mind.
Okay. I was able to ask some questions and find out who this craft belongs to. It is from the Pleiades, and the name of the planet is now I have to think a second. Ankhataya is the name of the planet. It's there are maybe 1,000 planets up in the Pleiades. There are actually 3 of these craft in the vicinity of the Earth, around either within or just outside our atmosphere, and they are from what the United Galactic Federation can tell, and they are their representative here on Earth called in the show on the 29th of May. That's what this whole how this whole thing started was with this call. He feels that they are doing some polar studies. They're watching what's happening to the poles on planet Earth. They are humans like us, and from all of what they can tell, they are good people. Now, they have been invited at least to overtures regarding joining the Galactic Federation. However, they have not responded to those overtures and those invitations. So this is not something that we should worry about at this time. I think the powers that be on this planet would be shaking in their boots and probably peeing their pants should they see such a craft. This craft has been seen for some time by the United Galactic Federation. So that's some pretty inside news that you can refer back to your friends at the NSA.
Well, Don, as I've said, you know, the for the American people alone, with everything else, in a very colloquial, limited and national, if you will, issues that we're dealing with financially through the banks and industry and the nationalization, socialization, and the creeping socialism that's occurring, the leadership, the bold, cold, determined leadership of the Obama administration to literally turn this nation on its head, constitutionally and ethically and all of the rest of it. When it's enough, Don, to try and deal each day with those events, the corruption that is just tearing this country apart, the illegal immigration that is such a huge issue to us, and the efforts of the international cabal to just take this nation to its knees and then lop off our heads is just enough on its own, and then to try and contemplate where we're going with this apparent visitation. You know, Don, at the end of the day, I have to tell you, I sit here and I frankly look at my ceiling and I go, wow, you know, I've got to think outside this box that is my home, this box that is my area that I've lived in all my life, and my friends and the institutions that I deal with, so forth. And it is a human task almost made impossible by all these events. I certainly hope that whatever this means, Don, is something that will be a positive event for us. And if this comes to fruition and real, bold, right now visual contact is made and so forth, and even physical contact, that we are ready, because the American people are staggering for what's happening.
Yes, you're so right. You know, what comes to mind is God's role in all of this, and we shouldn't forget that these people are the antithesis of everything good that God created. Now, in their minds, they feel that they have some special dispensation to do these things, that we're just too stupid to figure out what's going on. But, you know, the game is up, as I see it. Enough of us have awakened and are going to keep beating the drum of righteousness?
Yeah.
That's probably the best word.
You know, Don, you're right. And I look at some other information that floated through to me today from this same individual, and it was very simply that events are unfolding apparently as we speak in the state of Montana. Role model state in many ways for trying to reestablish some order and some constitutional sanity to the events that are just unfolding, as I've said. And what we see here is a private company again that is apparently done. It's been reported that they are constructing what can just be determined as a barricade, not in the sense of a couple of pieces of lumber, but a physical barricade so strong that anyone in a crisis situation that's going to try and leave or try and get out and away from problems even within the state of Montana that might occur are being faced now with this other possibility that has been reported to me, and that is that they are establishing an armed presence on the border between the United States and Canada in Montana that is apparently a remote controlled set of large caliber machine guns that are facing inward, that is, into the state of Montana, to keep any potential refugees from leaving the state or fleeing into Canada should some event unfold that would require the immediate removal of people from that area. And so here again we have a report that comes through, an eyewitnessed report, a straight-up physical report itself that was sent to the same source, and he passed it on to me today saying, Greg, it's just one more cog in a great puzzle here, a great one piece, a giant piece that's being put into place. And he said, you have to add it up and just say, well, now what next? So, folks, we report it as we get it. There are times when pictures are possible, sometimes when they're not. Sometimes when interviews are possible, sometimes when they're not. It's a risk we take, but we err in the direction of giving it to you. Let's see what happens, Don. Perhaps even one of your good listeners right now is in a position to confirm or give us some additional information. But that also came in right on top of this first report that we just gave.
Yes. Well, the first one we determined is likely of a benevolent nature. This is exactly the opposite, and it smacks of the con game that's been going on both in Washington and New York and tied to all the international banks. It's another diversion. Don't they always come up with a diversion? We had the bird flu. We had the swine flu. We had some school shootings, post office shootings, plane crashes, which are nothing but tontine scams to cash in on insurance policies or to remove outspoken enemies of the state, which are really enemies of the cabal, enemies of organized crime. Courageous people like Beverly Eckert, who was a 9/11 widow, and suing the government and having had spoken with Obama about a week before the plane crashed in Clarence Center, New York. That whole plane crash is again mirrored in this Air France crash that took place a couple of days ago. And this is going on nonstop all over the world, these crashes.
Don, it speaks again of how is this possible in this day and age, and I understand that accidents do and will continue on rare occasion, fortunately, to occur, but this latest crash just off the coast of Brazil, immediately, it was amazing to hear the news reports as they came in, and I bring this up for this reason. The first thing that they said after reporting the event itself was, and officials believe at this time that there is no act of terrorism suspected, that this appears to be a mechanical malfunction or perhaps a weather phenomena, and they went on great length to describe what they had no clue about the origin of the disaster itself, but they already had the cover story in place, and then just a matter of hours or maybe a day or two, I don't know the exact time, but just very quickly on the heels of that, was, well, now we have another situation that leads us to believe that with the threats that were made to Air France prior to the takeoff of this, and right away now we're back to another scenario. So it's either an attempt to totally confuse us and get us off the real truth, whatever that ultimately may be, or they are just wanting now to break what many of us suspected all along was perhaps a true act of terrorism or a planned event.
Well, there is an individual, and I don't have the article in front of me or the information on the crash, but this individual works for an energy corporation affiliated with George H.W. Bush, lives in the Woodlands outside of Houston, the same neighborhood as George H.W. Bush. And he and his wife were on that flight, and he was about to go to France on some deal which is related to all this financial corruption that's going on. So this is a move to eliminate one person on that plane. And it has everything to do with the embezzlement, and the bank situation, because the Bushes and Clintons are involved in an account with, Paribas, Bank, Paribas in France. And Sarkozy, as the president of the European Union, is posturing because he has been told that he will be removed from office if he doesn't get these countries their money. And I can tell you that there were private groups and charitable foundations that are trying to do good things for humanity, and these people are stealing the money. And this is why these other stories come out, especially this Montana story.
Sure.
They're probably planning something too, Greg. I want to point out that on the 3rd of this month, less than a week ago, they announced another Bin Laden tape. Now, how is this guy making tapes when he died in December of 2001? How is he putting these messages out? And how is it that he's able to get this to Al Jazeera? This guy's hiding in a cave in the mountains up in Uzbekistan and able to get these when these messages out?
You know, Don, I know, and you most likely have reported this to your listeners in the past, but I can tell you that, good grief, I don't even remember, probably 3 years ago at least, that it was first reported to me that the technology has existed for some time to be able to take a single protracted discussion between two people, myself and anyone else, and if we talk about enough subjects long enough, I will have used enough vocabulary, more than enough words that can be used in an advanced computerization process that will morph my voice into a discussion, taking each word, each nuance, each inflection, each syllable of those words, and twist them, and actually morph the inflection of my voice to such to create a discussion on my own as a dialogue, or as a single piece, a monologue, wherein my voice is reconstructed, the entire speech is reconstructed so that it could be used against me in court, it could be used to condemn me publicly, or to make me look foolish, to destroy my credibility. They have that ability, and so any of us at any time, Don, could be when we cross the tripwire, and I think many of us are probably close to that because of what we've been revealing and talking about, because we are sentinels out here, if you will, watchmen, as I say in one of my recordings. I've titled it Watchmen on the Ramparts, because that's what we do, Don, and we have run this risk all along of being destroyed at some point publicly because of our outspokenness. But I'll take that risk because the people that are listening tonight and others who know me from the past and my law enforcement background, I have had a dialogue with literally hundreds and hundreds of police officers across the United States phoning me and texting me and emailing me and contacting me, and retired people in the military above the rank or the rank of general, I was going to say above field grade, and who are giving me information that is so timely and so necessary for people to hear. And when I've gone on other programs, and I won't dialogue anymore now except to say that there are events also occurring around major cities for those of you who are saying, well, Greg, how does this apply to right here and now? Look, the plans are there, folks. The plans are there to create the choke points, to put up the physical blockades that are huge, that could go across six or eight lanes in one direction around Chicago or Kansas City or any of the major cities, choke points that will shut off your escape routes and will contain you in the way that the people have planned to have you contained regionally or nationally. I know this is occurring. It's been confirmed to me. And so I want you to be in prayer. I want you to be very closely, carefully monitoring what's happening so that when it does become necessary, you can move to safety. Have your go bags ready, as people say. And I know, Don, we've talked about this a great deal. I trust in God himself, God Almighty. I will not go I'll stay here and do what I can do for folks. And I'm going out right now, Don, and then I'll end here. And training folks now, just this past week, I was in downstate Michigan, had a wonderful training session with some folks down there, and they were just thrilled at the fact that they received the information necessary to help them make these final decisions as time is coming to some kind of close.
Yes, well, better safe than sorry, as the saying goes. In describing this, I want to jump back to this topic of this, you know, voice modulation voice editing software. For those that may be questioning whether you've blown a fuse, and I don't really mean to imply that at all. I'm just saying, you know, when they hear a topic like that, oh, come on, that's not possible. How could they do that? Just think of the answering machine voice that they use when you call a particular number, particularly when you're getting a message from the phone company regarding a number you dialed. That technology reads the number back to you. And it has gotten a lot smoother. It sounds more real. It's still evident that that's not a real person doing that, because usually if it's a real person, you have to say the number 10 times till they get it right. Remember the old days of calling information. But I can see that with what's going on in the world, that they would have to change the basic messages when you call a business or a service, and you get their pre-recorded message. It's going to be press 1 for English, 2 for illegal alien. And then I suppose you'll have a whole roster of selections there. Now going back to the software itself, may be in use. What you're describing reminds me of listening to a Barack Obama speech. If you get my meaning, it sounds very programmed, very scripted, and of course these guys don't memorize their speeches and they don't speak from the heart. First of all, you have to have one to do that. So, I just get this. I mean, you're talking about a robotic technology, and the way people are, they've become so numb to sensing what is really going on, to discerning what's going on. And people are fooled by images. I think I've shown that to be the case in my Three Stooges Go to Washington Part 6, where I analyze Obama's pictures and basically point out how ridiculous they look because they're so out of proportion. And there are so many flaws and anomalies in the sizes of body parts and the number of body parts and the lack of shadows and, you know, just they're total fabrications. And we have become so numbed and dumbed down that we don't even notice these things, or we just flippantly look at them and then write them off as, you know, unimportant. We're being shown point blank the fraud that's going on.
Well, if it's possible that this can be done with photographs, that the digitalization of the computers that are used in this reprocessing of pictures of photographs, can we not assume at least the possibility that it can be done electronically with the voice, with other forms of frequency and signals, that this warping of these various forms of communication have been brought to the point where just about the creation of anything, including videotape, is really a possibility that I think has arrived on the scene some time back. And if we are naive enough to think that the government and people who are have a plan that supersedes anything that we would like to think is our own destiny. If we don't think that that's possible, and that some of us are going to be targeted for the receiving end of some of these pictures and this technology, then I think you really do need some serious counseling. And I understand where people want to believe otherwise. They want to think that this isn't going to happen. They want to believe that this isn't going to be a part of their lives. But it's that very position, Don, that has made it possible for people like Barry Sotero to assume the White House.
Yes, I agree with you. I've been researching the genealogy in depth beyond what's occurring. And I'm going to allude to something here. If you take the first syllable in the name Barry, just the first syllable, and then the first syllable in the name Rockefeller, and put the two together, what do you have?
Wow.
Barack.
Yes.
Okay, it's the first time I ever heard that name, and I've been all over the world. And I think anyone else, and it, you know what? It fits my research to the T. It fits like a glove.
It sure does.
Tighter than the O.J. Simpson glove.
I was sitting here trying I didn't want to be doing it on the radio, you know, and you're absolutely right. Unbelievable.
Yes. Wow. Now that may sound outlandish to someone, but I'm telling you that when you see what I've uncovered, and that's part 7 of the Three Stooges Go to Washington, you will understand why he is where he is today and why we have the problems we have.
Yes.
You know, I was listening to a clip just before we went live on the air, and this is well before I was supposed to be on. We had technical problems tonight.
Sure.
And I heard him talk about internet fraud, how the people playing the con games, bilking people out of money, are going to be stopped. And he's talking about hackers and spammers and phishers and the scammers that are out there. And I'm saying to myself, here's someone that's got probably thousands of aliases, and I've got a whole list of them now, and he's got real estate assigned to these aliases. He is one of the biggest perpetrators of the fraud, and he has the audacity to say the government is going to go after those committing the fraud. What a farce. What an absolute thorough lie. You know,
you're absolutely right.
You know, we've been saying for a couple of years on this show that the software that they sell people, antiviral software, may catch some viruses. It's designed to do that. In fact, they put the viruses out there so it gives you the impression that the software is working. While you're concerned about viruses coming into the computer, they have backdoors built into these programs that virtually take over the computer. And you wonder why, after you fix a computer problem, you turn around, sometimes within a matter of minutes, you have a worse problem. Well, it's because of this software. And everybody knows what the major names are to those. So, again, we have the intelligence agencies working behind the scenes, producing all these things. You know, it's problem, reaction, solution, isn't it? Always about money and control over the people.
Well, I believe, Don, that what it is, it's a cyclical procedure that's been applied, as you've just so perfectly described, that has found itself in each element of the economy and the politics in Washington, and is this wonderful editorial or piece that you started with today describes. It doesn't all of a sudden make clear and bring the truth of what this gentleman said and what we've all been saying, but so precisely on this opening piece you did, as to why it occurs in the first place. Doesn't it give some sense? Because the people in this great cabal, this conspiracy, have had to perfect the way and the conditions under which they try and implement everything. And once they got onto a winning combination, they said, why reinvent the wheel each time to accomplish the same goal or the same end? And in response to that, law enforcement across the nation, and something that I have been so closely involved with for so many years, have also found that, you know, again, you don't need to bring up some brand new process here. Let's do what works. We know how we can contain people. We know how we can intimidate people. We know which buttons to push to make them respond in the way that we want them to respond. This us against them mentality, the let's make sure that when we're out there, we're going to win at any cost. It doesn't matter what is said or done. If our goal is to use the taser system to intimidate this person, and in doing it to this single person on television, we're intimidating millions of people into not even opening their mouths to resist or to say, wait just a moment here, I have not done this. Don, it is a plan that has been so well perfected. Number one, let's admit that it's occurred, but more than that, let's, as freedom-loving people, let's move forward and construct our own response system that is just as perfected so that we can deal with this and have some hope that we can make a difference and change this for the better.
I agree. And that isn't that what we're attempting to do here?
It sure is.
I received something from Drew Raines yesterday, and I'd heard of this document, but I had never read it. In fact, I hadn't really been looking for it for some time. I'd thought about possibly finding it as an electronic file on the web. And lo and behold, Drew Raines sent me a copy of it. It's called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. And this was a top-secret document that was read to a particular group of people, I presume within the military and probably within certain realms of business. And I'm in a sense, I'm pleased at what I read, not because of the subject matter, but that my research has been following the path to disclosing this. This document basically discloses what I've been talking about. And one of the main means through which this is done is through the economy, through financing, through fiat banking systems. And they laud and praise Meyer Amschel Rothschild and his genius for putting this together, and the involvement of Harvard University and the Rockefeller Foundation. It's amazing. It's about 29 pages on a PDF. I'm going to be posting it to my site. In fact, I'm going to try to do a clean copy because this was found in a surplus sale of a copier that was previously owned by Boeing aircraft. And I suppose it may have been stored in the RAM in this machine, and or on a backup hard drive that may have been in the machine, and it was printed out, and it literally describes the plan of the New World Order and talks about the various stages in which it was implemented. I believe the document was written in 1965, and it is chilling in a sense. But in another sense, you and I and Drew and other researchers we know have already bridged many of these gaps in bringing out this information. So this is the things we're talking about tonight, Greg, are documented. You read this document and you say, holy cow, it's like this is the script to all the things we've been talking about.
This is the ultimate Rosetta Stone, if you will. for all that we've been alluding to for so many months and years. And all of a sudden, I just in my faith system, I say God provided a real gem for us here, worth more than all the gold that you could put together. In saying, here we go, folks. This is why. This is what's occurring. Here it is. Read it for yourself. And I am so grateful, Don, that you have the courage and the desire to make sure that these documents get out to folks.
Oh, yes. One of the things it goes into is a discovery that Rothschild made about energy, and that you could get people to give their energy. And so they created a bunch of systems to do that, you see. Ultimately, it results in slavery. And they talk about two things. They talk about slavery and genocide. This is planned in this document. This document lays it out. Now, it has every appearance of having been produced by the military and intelligence agencies, but I wonder how much intelligence actually went into it, if you get my meaning.
Keep in mind, Don, that many times under the auspices of either the military or even law enforcement, and certainly our intelligence agencies, the think tanks that are all a part of this, and then you throw into the mix the CFR and other organs that are called on to produce these papers, which become policy. It is a networking between these various instruments of the cabal to put this out so that they have this working paper, but they do run the risk in some cases where it has been manipulated for the use of the false information, false propaganda going out to close a door that they wanted closed or to open a door they wanted opened, so that people will get the message that they want broadcast. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, when the time is right, when the approval has been given, these documents surface that have been prepared by these organizations, and they are there to be used either to credit or discredit the individual, the organization, the government, the groups, whatever it might be, in whatever way fits that particular element at that time, so that it all is running in the same direction toward their ultimate goal of the enslavement of what is left of the population.
Mm-hmm. Very true. One of the, going back to this document, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, they outline comparing society to an electronic circuit. In fact, this discovery that Rothschild supposedly made could be applied to any situation they wish to create whatsoever, because it follows the same formula. They use induction and resistance and capacitance as examples of an electronic circuit, and of course. A capacitor is where the energy is stored and then released. So they consider us to be capacitors. But going just through a short list, they call the inductive factors regarding a civilization that's expecting a certain but predictable standard of living, and through the monitoring of their buying habits and enforcement of this desire to to be in control of self-preservation, but always giving it up to a higher authority. They list population, magnitude of the economic activities of the government, and the method of financing these government activities. Sort of the Peter Paul principle, inflation of the currency. In other words, they get us used to a certain standard of living, and we're putting our energy out to produce a certain amount of financial productivity that they get, you see. Ultimately, they reap these profits. And then they infuse worthless cash, not backed by anything, into the economy to to force people to spend more money. In other words, there's more money out there, so now it creates a shortage of products, so they inflate the cost of the products, and they reap more money from this. But remember, always creating the money out of thin air. And they convert these to other resources. And they create situations for us to give up all of our real estate or our possessions, even our freedom. And they come up with all kinds of situations that fit those roles. Now they get into flow and current, measured in amperes in electricity, yet in this system it would be dollars of flow per year. Motivating force would be volts. Dollars demand. Conductance, amperes per volt, translates into dollars or flow per year per dollar demand. And capacitance, which would be columns per volt, translated into dollars of production, inventory, stock per dollar demand. So you can see the principle of inflation is compared to an electronic circuit.
Wow, so, and that really is brilliant.
It is brilliant, yet it is also very evil, you see, because it's deceitful. Absolutely. It's hiding what's going on for the purpose of subjugating those who are being victimized by the very system. In fact, it's just like a parasite. You know, it's a parasitic condition, and we're at a stage of consciousness where we tolerate this. I mean, if you were deathly sick and you went to your doctor and you asked your doctor what was wrong, and he said you had parasites all over inside and outside your body, what would you ask him? What can you do? Can you get rid of them?
Absolutely, sure.
Right, and
yes.
And if you now, why aren't we asking that question? Because we have parasites all over us, and they're in their stage where you know they're sensing that the end may be near for them, so they have to replicate. They have to ramp up their activities and destroy the body that they live on, you know, the host. They have to destroy the host.
That's right. Well, and they have to feed, Don. I mean, this is kind of a gross thought, but they have to feed, and they must do it now before the host is destroyed and the host rots away, and they can no longer feed on that which was sustaining them.
Well, that or before the host finds a cure.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's why we see what we're seeing. But, you know, considering the effort that went into electronic circuits, this document is filled with this, but it's described in terms of controlling all the things that affect us, everything that's in the news today. This has been orchestrated from day one. And it's here, and we have seen this. You have seen this. I've heard you talk about it many times,
yes.
And many of your guests. Drew Raines comes to mind. Here's someone that lived these realities in the military and saw these things going on. You know, his quiet time has expired, and he's allowed to speak about these things, and he's telling the truth.
And, well, bless the Lord for him, because Drew is one of those guys. He's so infectious. I mean, I love having him on the show. You two are always my favorite guests because your extensive knowledge, Don, and his infectious, just his whole way of dealing with something, it's so pure and so right out there. I'm so glad that he is doing what he's doing. He's indispensable in what's in our efforts to make this known.
Yes, yes. Now, Greg, I don't mean to hog up all the show. I'm excited to share these things with you because you're also very discerning. I know you as a man of God and a man of faith, and I know that despite the fact that we have to be prepared, you also aside from helping people with this, you know, preparation for survival and self-defense and all of this, You have some feelings about what could occur or the alternatives that might happen should people wake up and start taking action. Do you want to share any of those with us?
Well, I tell you, Don, I am encouraged to know that people, for whatever reason, and we could talk about it, wouldn't change a thing, but we just know, and we each know people that have are just put together. So that it takes a little bit more. You got to rap a couple more times on the door to get their attention. But whatever the reason, they are finally now beginning to wake up and realize that first of all they're angry because they have been taken advantage of. They're incredulous that this could occur and occur in the magnitude that it has occurred, and they are saying, all right, I see now. I'm sorry I was so slow and so recalcitrant to do anything, but I understand now, and what can I do? And so they're floundering just a bit now. They're in that splashing about stage where they realize they're about to get ground underneath them and they can wade ashore, but they're still splashing a bit, and so they're saying, throw me that life ring just in case. And so we've been doing that, Don. We've been going out and alerting people, talking to people, bringing them every element that we can. When I was sharing just this past weekend, I can tell you that I invoked your name and Drew Raines and others, good friends, solid friends of mine, tremendous folks of valor and distinction, and who are put their lives on the line to get this out there. Look, you don't have to be sworn into the military, Don. And I say this for anyone that's listening today, this morning, that are saying, well, I didn't serve in the military. I wasn't a police officer. Look, you don't have to be. What we're saying is, by your distinction, by your valor, Don Nikoloff, Drew Raines, Greg Evenson, and others, we're looking for leadership. We need to know what's going on, and then please help us to use resources that are best forged for this battle, and give us the tools, and we'll take the task on. And Don, I'm very pleased. I'm happy. I don't want to leave people down this morning, and just feeling down and out. There is a move afoot, ladies and gentlemen, to take the reins of what is happening now. Ultimately, I don't know what will happen. Whether we have intervention from outside our world, whether we have a great uprising from our world to throw off these shackles that are all but pinned in place around our wrists and our necks and our feet, we just need to know that there are people that are saying, nope, that's enough, and I will not do this, and it's worth putting my life on the line for, and I count you as one of those, Don. And I thank you so much that your truth and your strength and your courage has been there for people in these wee hours of the evenings and the early mornings to encourage people and not to leave them with a sense of hopelessness. We do believe by our faith that we are secure in our future, and that's what we've got to rely on. And I thank you all for all that you do every day. I wish I could shake your hands, ladies and gentlemen, but thanks, and please don't give up.
Well said. I have to concur with what you just said. I'm honored that you see me that way. I'm just answering that call that God's put on my shoulders. We stirred someone in the listening audience. We have a caller. Would you like to take a call?
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Okay. Caller, would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Leo from Mass.
Okay,
hi, Greg,
here we go. Okay, try that again. I didn't understand a word you said. So,
Leo from Mass.
Leo, what's on your mind?
Okay, Don, I got it that time. Yeah, hi, Leo, how are you? I'm sorry, we've just had a little connection problem.
Okay, hi. Yeah, I was just, while you guys were down, I was catching the Kay Griggs thing about the government and the military, and that is just the most incredible blockbuster of a piece of information that really has to be given more publicity.
Well, that's been out for a number of years, and we've actually talked about that. You want to comment on that, Greg?
You know, I guess I don't know what more I can say at this point, Leo, other than to tell you that we are doing our best as the information comes to us, and it begins, you know, even those of us that deal with it all the time, Leo, and I know you're a very astute listener, and I've talked to you before, so, you know, we give it as we get it, pretty much, after we've done some distilling of the information to make sure that what we're given is the best we can give. But that's the... Sometimes it's all we can do, Leo. What's your feeling about it?
Well, I want to get into another topic, specifically the city-country split in psychology and the people who understand what's going on and the others that don't see. See, I think we in the cities can have a significant input if we have a network built up, and I don't see that network happening because, like, I was... querying some people about if they knew about the Baxter flu, 15 people who should have, you know, been hip to it, or at least I thought should have been hip to it, and only one came up and said, oh, and verified, oh, yeah, that was, the bad news was only one person verified, oh, yeah, I saw that in a Bloomberg article, and the terrifying Alfred Hitchcock news was that nobody cared afterwards, even after it was verified. This is what we're dealing with.
Leo, we, you know, the Kate Griggs story has pertinence in maybe characterizing some of these scoundrels and their perversions. The Baxter case is one of hundreds of examples of this going on. The things that we're focusing on tonight are of a much, much larger magnitude. I'm not saying that those elements don't make up part of the whole picture. But we're at a point where people have to wake up, and one little item is not going to do that, particularly when they're not hearing about it on the mainstream news, when they're not getting the truth when they do hear about it.
Well, my thoughts are that possibly we're being played in little ways, and that these are little tests, like the whole flu thing was a test thing to see if we would accept it. And fortunately, only 18% of the people would accept a forced vaccination. So there is some progress, but it's very, very slow and difficult to quantify.
Yeah, well, Leo, I got to cut you short. We've got other callers on the line here.
Oh, sure, sure.
We're pressed for time, we'll try to incorporate this into a show sometime.
I think we can
go into it more, okay?
Okay,
thanks for calling.
Okay.
Okay, we've got Joe on the line. Joe, where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Bob. Hello,
who's on the line here?
This is Bob in Colorado. How are you doing?
Oh, Bob in Colorado. I'm fine. How are you, Bob?
Pretty good. You know, they've been warning us, Dick Cheney and Powell and other ones, for years about... an impending nuclear strike on the U.S.
Are you speaking on a speakerphone by any chance, Bob?
No, I'm on a cordless phone, but it's...
Well, we're getting a feedback, like your system is feeding back into itself. You sound like you're close to a speaker. Okay, now that stopped the problem. I think we lost him.
Oh, that's too bad.
Hello?
Oh, now we've got him. Okay, now that seems to be cleaner. Okay,
right.
did you have a question for our guest tonight?
Yes, I do. We've been getting rumblings from Cheney and Powell and others for a couple of years now about nuclear terrorism in the U.S. And I kind of see the scenario building where enough of us are waking up. You know, especially this economic thing, everybody knows something's wrong. And you talk to people and everybody knows it. Everybody knows we're getting screwed. And what they do when enough people begin to wake up and get grumpy is the tendency is to throw down a false flag and then we can blame somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys see that as a possible scenario for something coming up shortly?
Greg, would you like to comment?
Sure, thanks very much, and that's a great question. It was formed very well. It's very clear. Yes, in fact, I will tell you that not only has training gone on under the banner of that very scenario at the military and law enforcement level. But there is I think, just a tacit understanding and acceptance, especially among law enforcement people that I talk to, that something like this is going to happen. They have not necessarily bought into, nor do they train entirely under the idea of a false flag event. And for those of us that know what a false flag is, that it would be homegrown, that it would be brought into being so that we could implement these other factors, including a martial law scenario. But it doesn't matter to them, because what they're saying simply is, and I'm not saying they don't care about it, it's just the result for them is the same, whether it's a false flag or a genuine terrorist event that's been generated from the outside, the result will be the same. That will be pandemonium, catastrophe, but the need to control completely. You think we're under a control situation now, and understand that everything that's being done has one ultimate goal, and that's people control, whether it's guns or vaccines or necessary essential items in the economy. It's all about controlling people. So what you would see under that scenario is the ultimate control, and that's the ultimate goal, so that control can be exerted and people eventually placed in places of constraint or camps where they're taken out and the power has been the vacuum created by the powers that be, the cabal, simply have sucked all the power out of the atmosphere, and it's now in one place. And that's the ultimate goal, and law enforcement will be, unfortunately, a part of that. But what a great question. I think it's unfolding before our eyes. But again, the positive note is, and thanks for that great question, is that we're waking up, and it's folks like you that are going to see it happen.
I have another comment. I don't think there's any such thing as genuine terrorism. I think it's all false flag. But another thing I've sussed out, you can kind of tell there, you know, in the media, the mainstream media is nothing but lies. But one thing I've been noticing a lot of real heavy coverage of late is the 7,000 Marines that are now deployed in southern Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And then that force is supposed to be bumped up to 21,000. And I don't know if either of you gentlemen have ever looked at a topographical map of Iran and Afghanistan, but we have a vast army in Iraq, but between Iraq and the populated areas and the strategic areas of Iran, there's huge mountain ranges. They're like the Rocky Mountains.
Yes.
So invasion from Iraq into Iran would be very difficult, and the Iranians are experienced at defending that frontier from the Iraq-Iran war. But if you think of an expeditionary force of 21,000 Marines in southern Iraq or southern Afghanistan, and then you look at a topographical map, there are very many wide-open avenues of invasion that would lead right into Tehran and then right down south to the Straits of Hormuz, both of which would be the main prizes to keep the Gulf open and the oil flowing and to take over the government of Iran. And they put this all in the news. It's the surge, you know, support the troops, and there's been too many casualties, and we just have to surge Afghanistan. And there isn't a standing army there. You have people basically defending their farms and their villages. And our military is pretty much overwhelmed with just, you know, surviving from day to day. And these people, it looks like they're actually biting off another war. That's the way I interpret the news coverage. And then I turn off the news, and I get out my books, and I get out my maps, and I try to determine what's really going. And it looks to me like they're fixing to take down Iran from the east.
Well, Bob, if I can comment on this, this is scripted, first of all. They know what they're going to do. This is all planned out, and everybody involved is playing a role. This we brought up the issue of this Air France flight 447, I believe it was, and they found an oil slick. Of course, they didn't find the airplane. They claim they found two bodies and some luggage, and so there's 226 other people that they didn't find, plus the plane. They found an oil slick, which is diesel fuel, likely from a submarine owned by Iran, of all countries. So it's quite possible that Iran actually fired a missile at that plane as a warning. You're going to start a war with us. We'll show you that we have the power to do things in other parts of the planet where it will affect you. You see, this directly affected the Bush-Clinton cabal. So we know who's really pulling the strings. And I comment a step further and say that we're witnessing a struggle between the old and the new guard of the westernized version of the Illuminati. Behind the scenes, I'm sure Rockefellers are pulling the strings of all the players. It's a question of who has the intestinal fortitude and the luck to be standing when it's all said and done. Greg, do you want to comment?
You know, Don, that's a perfect assessment, and yeah, I agree with you. This has been incremental, and who's going to be left standing on the field? To your caller, I would simply say that you did a wonderful setup in this. I mean, the only plan that I was ever even remotely aware of was this hopscotch effect over this mountain range that you were talking about, and a pincher movement in north and south through other countries that would have been very, very difficult to achieve, and would have had no guarantee of success. But looking at it from the other direction, where the buildup is coming now, it made me wonder right off the bat why Barry Sotero was looking at building up forces in Afghanistan when we already had a major league a group on the ground in Iraq. But it's clear, and your assessment of it, your evaluation of it, I think is spot on, and I congratulate you on that. Thanks for the call. You did a great job.
One more comment I have. Why would the Iranians shoot down a French airliner, and then why would the submarine then pump out an oil slick?
Well, I think the oil slick was...
Submarines are all about stealth, you know. I am a Navy veteran, by the way. But,
yeah,
you know, I'll listen to the rest of the show off the air. Thank you, gentlemen. It's been a very good show.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I don't know if that was intentional, accidental, or something that just happens as a matter of course. But I can only describe the findings of that particular crash site, as they call it. No black box, no plane, two people.
The gentleman's point's well taken. We have a tendency, and I did this in law enforcement, and it's perfectly valid. In the end, we'll see what they come up with, but you look at the possibilities of the other potential scenarios as to what brought this plane down or what this situation was, and I think it's perfectly legitimate to assume that it could be, as you described, and in the end it may well be that that was it, but it's one element of what are they going to need, Don, in the end to justify. How are they setting this in motion so that whatever they come up with is ultimately going to be what they agree is the answer, whether it was or not, because that is what they need to have the public believe actually took place.
Yes, yes, and going back to what the point I made before, you know, you take a Henry Kissinger and a Zbigniew Brzezinski and those types, and a George H.W. Bush, and then you take Barack Obama, Rahm Emanuel, Joe Biden, and of course the Clintons are still in there because they've got Hillary in there. They've got Bill playing ball with the Bushes. And Hillary is even more involved. She's actually Bill's handler as a CIA asset.
Sure.
People have to wake up. You know, people are still enamored with this. Oh, it's so nice to have a woman in that position. She's a criminal. She's an extortionist. She's been involved in hundreds of murders.
Yeah, and so you're pleased that we found a spot for precious Hillary? Good God, we're lucky we're still floating at all, Don.
Yeah, so, you know, these games are what's going on behind the scenes, and the international disputes are a cover story or a smokescreen to obfuscate what is really going on. Now, I listened to I listened to Ben Bernanke yesterday. Someone called me and said, you got to listen to 60 Minutes. Ben Bernanke's on there. And I listened to the guy, but more than that, I read his body language, and he was lying through his teeth, everything he was saying. Tell me the economy is going to pick up, and the Federal Reserve is protecting the people's money, and, you know, these ridiculous statements. These people are pathologically sick. And if the bird flu can't kill them, nothing can. They stop at nothing to be corrupt. And in fact, they honor themselves at how corrupt they can be.
Don, I have to tell you, while you've been saying this, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it just came to my mind, and I thought I just had to put this out there. Folks, if you seem confused at times because you know, we're trying to analyze and evaluate these elements of whether it's a plane crash or the Federal Reserve or the government at large, something that's occurring in England, the source of a lot of this heartache. Look, remember that the good old boys in some of our southern states, when the hounds were chasing them, and they just knew that they had to do something because they knew that those hound dogs were on the scent, and it was going to be real hard to evade them and outrun them. So you know what they would do, Don? When they would commit whatever crime it was that they were going to be involved in, or whatever they were doing, when they were escaping, and many times it was on foot, they dressed very carefully. And they would make sure that they had two or three pairs of socks and a couple of three shirts, and so when they were running, they could take off a shoe and throw it in one direction, and after a little bit they'd take off another shoe and throw it, then a sock, and followed by a shirt, and so they were trying by each of these individual elements in their escape or in their great plan to evade their potential captors. They kept throwing off these scent-filled pieces of their clothing, so the dogs would be thrown off and would be going in various directions. Now, that silly little backwoods example is, and by the way, I'm told that actually occurred by law enforcement officers back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. But the point is that you see something like that. You'll forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, for that. But we're seeing elements of that at this very time, that we're being thrown off the scent, if you will, just about the time we're able to pick through some of this stuff and get toward the bottom of it and find out what's really happening. There goes another shoe or a shirt in another direction, and the hounds take off, and we're thrown off the scent just long enough for them to come up with some other level, some other issue that will make the case or break the case, so that they can continue on toward the goal, which is continued evasion, until they can successfully pull this thing off and reap the benefits of their crime.
Yes. And all the while they're doing that, it's collapsing around them.
Correct.
I mean, I'm seeing that in these, you know, you're talking about the diversions. They do this primarily now, on two fronts. They're, the broadcast media, the television and mainstream radio, puts out these ridiculous comments about conspiracy theories. They keep using that term still. And the fringe wackos on the internet. Yet recently, their press secretary, the White House press secretary, Robert Gibbs, answered a question of Les Kinsolving is his name, a reporter that asked a question about the transparent administration. When was Obama going to produce his certificate of live birth? And they poo-pooed and laughed, or I should say Gibbs poo-pooed and laughed off the question, admitting that they, meaning his team, posted the fraudulent birth certificate on the internet. Now, he didn't admit it was fraudulent, but he remarked that they posted it so the 400,000 dissenters, these people who are questioning his eligibility to be in the office and questioning his citizenship, are somehow wackos and nutcases. But in doing, in lying about it, or in his unintentional admission that they did it, lying about the veracity of the documents, what I'm referring to, they admitted that they did this, that they committed the fraud. So what are we going to do? We know who committed the fraud. Okay? That's obvious. And we have to stick to our guns there. No pun intended.
No, absolutely, Don. You're perfectly right on there. You see, they're again, through various media outlets and pronouncements from all kinds of people within the campaign, and then after that from the government itself, and that obnoxious press secretary that Obama has. This he is so arrogant, and I just can't stand to watch him. But the point is that again, like you said, they have used every subtle and not so subtle effort to make those of us that just have asked the simple question of would you produce a valid, verifiable certificate? What is wrong with that, Don? I just don't see that there's anything wrong with that question, but boy, you sure find out how they feel about it when you try and get an honest, forthcoming answer. It just isn't there. If it were there, why not produce it?
Yes, that's a question I've asked in every article that I've written about him, and for that matter about McCain too. Neither one of them were legitimate Americans, and
correct.
And the law is the law. We didn't write them, but somehow they are above it. They don't have to answer to it, and we must hold them accountable.
Absolutely right.
I don't mean to go off on a rant. Well, Greg, we're out of time. We actually went over, but it was exciting. And when we're late, the audience gets treated to a little extra information.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for having me, Don. It's been a real treat for me as well.
I have to say, and I don't often get to say this because you're not on the show enough, but I want to have you on more often. You relinquished your show on Republic Broadcasting, Voices from the Heartland, and I had the honor to be on that show with Drew Raines and Bill Moore, and you're going to be doing some work with Bill Moore, and I'd like you to talk about that and let people know how they can get in touch with you if they're interested in putting together some people in the area. Tell them what that's about.
Thanks for that, Don. And again, thanks so much for having me. It's been a real treat, and I'll be happy to be on whenever we can work it. Actually, ladies and gentlemen, we just needed to get out and begin to do the things that we've been talking about and implement those, as I've said. And so it just became necessary for me to take the time to go in another direction. I love RBN, and I love John Stabmiller, and it had nothing to do with that. We're a great team, but we just had to move on. And Don and Drew and Bill were on my last show, and that was a Hallmark show. But Bill and I will continue as time allows us to go to a regional effort. Actually, it'll be accessible around the world through streaming. But the show is called The Outspoken Sportsmen, and it will be airing July 11th on Saturdays, 8 to noon Eastern time. And Bill Moore is just a delight to be with. He's a comedian. He's a great guy, but he's a very serious gentleman when it comes to the issues, many of which are similar to what we're talking about tonight and on our shows at Voices from the Heartland. So please join us. You can stream us at www.theoutspokensportsman.net. That's www.theoutspokensportsman, and that's singular in the website at the present time, .net, and you can stream us, and please do. We'll take your calls, and so just check that out, and my website, of course, is www.theheartlandusa.com, theheartlandusa.com. Don, thanks to you folks out there. You're great folks. You're great listeners. Thanks for the calls, and we'll see you another time, Don. Thanks very much. God bless you.
I look forward very much to it, Greg, and thank you so much for the work that you're doing and will continue to do, and I can't wait the next time you're on the show.
Thanks, Don. Take care.
Okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I want to remind the listening audience that you can visit my website, DirectLightProductions.com. A lot of interesting articles popping up on my Breaking Stories page. If you haven't seen it, check out the video documentary that I threw together to give you something to look at while you listen to General Jeremiah of the United Galactic Federation when he called into this show on May the 29th. It's a very fascinating and captivating interview, very spontaneous. It wasn't planned, and he followed through, sent some photos. Some of those photos are within the video and also posted on my photos page. Got some new articles coming out soon. Things are really crazy right now. More archives are up and will continue to be up. We're going to put something together for those in the listening audience that want to subscribe to my archives. Of course, we encourage you to get all the archives at BBS, but I'm going to work out something for my listening audience, and you'll be hearing about that in the very near future. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints. Tonight, Don Newsom was on the sound. Great job, Don. And most of all, I want to thank you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.